How's that?
Oh, that's much better.
Well, you got to hear this. Jim Mosher, who is our worship assistant today, also has pinch-hitted in the choir. He has been a voice of strength in our choir. He also has done the children's sermon. And he may also be substituting as a communion server. Jim, we do appreciate you. Our second scripture today is from the Epistle to the Galatians from the Apostle Paul, beginning with verse 4 of chapter 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child, and if a child, then also an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord. Let us bow in prayer. Let us pray. We wait now upon your word, O Lord. Break into our thoughts with your truth. Grant us a spirit of openness and humility that we may hear your voice. Amen. Recorded in the Synoptic Gospels. Do you know what the Synoptic Gospels are? They're the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the first three books of the New Testament. There are two nativity stories in the Synoptic Gospels. One is the Gospel of Luke. It's about angels, shepherds, and a baby lying in a manger. The second nativity story, which is recorded in St. Matthew, is about wise men from the east, about a bright star in the heavens, and an evil king named Herod. And you put those two stories together, and you have a complete understanding of what happened as Jesus came into the world. But today, we deal with the first nativity story, that recorded in Luke. We are told that 2 days ago, on Black Friday, 214 million Americans went about shopping. Rather than purchasing some must-have item like last year's Barbie Dream House, or the Cosmo Robotic Toy, or the Baby Alive Potty Dance Doll, this year, 2019, there appeared to be no purchasing passion for a particular toy, although we do have Cubby the Curious Bear and the Ultimate Walking Buzz Lightyear or the game Pictionary Draw in the Air. Beautiful, beautiful toys. Shoppers this year have been purchasing rather standard items such as sweaters, shirts, electronics, matchbox cars. Do you remember the Cabbage Patch doll? I do. It became the rage, I believe, in the early 1980s. Its life-size features and set of individual adoption papers made the toy fascinating and unique. Immediately, the doll was a success, winning over the hearts and minds of countless little Americans. In fact, so successful was this Christmas item that quantity was quickly exhausted and almost a buyer's panic ensued. In fact, so successful was this item that in hopes of purchasing dolls, many people formed long lines outside department stores. Sometimes tempers flared. Occasionally there were even pull-down, drag-out fights among the competing customers. A woman once told me how she was fortunate to be present in one store when a new supply of 30 or 40 Cabbage Patch dolls was suddenly put out on the store shelf. A crowd quickly gathered to snatch up the goods, but the woman happened to get there first, and picking up two of the dolls, she pushed herself defensively back through the crowd and then continued on her way. But shortly afterward, her arms filled with packages, her body tired from shopping, she accidentally dropped one of the Cabbage Patch dolls on the storeroom floor. Before she could pick it up, another person grabbed it off the floor and tucked it into a shopping bag, and disappearing into the crowd, she said, "Finders, keepers." That was the Cabbage Patch doll incident that I remember. Here we are entering the first week of the Christmas season. Ice forbidding many to come to worship. I thank you for being here. This is a season we regard as a time of generosity, of goodwill. Our hearts are warmed by the cheery hellos of friends and neighbors, by the singing of familiar Christmas carols, by the anticipated exchange of gifts and expressions of love. If ever there is a season during which we should leave behind us a negative spirit, an acquiring and greedy spirit, it is Christmas. A greedy spirit is the complete opposite of what is revealed to us in the Christmas story. Not me first, not look out for number one, not finders keepers, but rather you first. Look out for the welfare of others. That is what God teaches us at Christmas. God so loved the world, says the Apostle John, that he gave his only begotten Son. During the Christmas season, we celebrate the fact that God gave, and his giving is an example that in turn we should follow. Not the pushing and shoving in long lines at shopping malls. Not the pitched battles for retail merchandise in department stores. Not the tired and irritable moods displayed by store clerks and customers. The authentic spirit of Christmas shows itself in generosity, in grace, in humility, in love. And as we look back to the birth of Christ, we see such a spirit pervading every detail of the Christmas Nativity story. In Scripture we read, Mary and Joseph traveled from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem. In this verse, the first detail which impresses upon me the generosity and humility and love of God is the fact that God's Son was born in Bethlehem. Christ could have been born in the royal city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was only 5 miles northwest of Bethlehem, and it was a city far more appropriate for the birth of a king. It is as though the president were to come to central New York, and instead of visiting Binghamton and Syracuse, he would spend all of his time in Big Flats, Preble, and Spencer. For a politician, that would be unthinkable. But God is not a politician. By having his Son purposely born in the town of Bethlehem, God was saying to the world that he had come not because he wanted to receive the accolades and recognition of the great, but because he wanted, out of love, to meet the deepest needs of the humble in spirit and the lowly in heart. Scripture says, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that Mary should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapping him in swaddling cloths, she laid him in a manger." Another detail of Luke's Christmas story is that which witnesses to the generosity, humility, and love of God is the fact that the baby Jesus was laid in a manger and not in a crib. Now, a manger sounds very romantic to us today. But what is a manger? It is a place where animals feed. It's not a crib. No crib was available. A feeding trough had to suffice. Now, the birth of a child is a wonderful thing. Amanda Reese just had a child this past week. She's not with us today. She's probably still at the hospital enjoying her firstborn child. The birth of a child is, I can witness, a wonderful thing. When it happens, nothing is too good for mother and child. You want the best facilities, doctors, and health care. You want an environment that is pleasing and helpful. In many homes, a baby arrives to find his own room with his own furniture and toys. But there was none of this for Jesus. To say that Jesus' birth was humble is an incredible understatement. Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, was laid in an animal trough. Do you sense the love of God in this? Whom do you love so much that you would humble yourself for them and get down on their level and meet their needs, even if it meant putting aside your dignity? That is what Christ did for you and me. Scripture tells us there was no room for them in the inn. And here is another detail testifying to God's love, generosity, and humility. The humility of Christ went beyond his birth in a stable. He was with the animals and lying in a manger because he had been rejected by human society. There was no room. What a statement. A woman, full term with child in a strange place, and nobody would give them a room. This is not some cute or quaint story you tell at Christmas time. It's a terrible and shameful story that reflects upon humanity. Selfishness, callousness, hardness of heart. To become the Savior of the world, Jesus would have to know rejection. The rejection of humanity. Scripture in the Gospel of Luke, the Nativity story, concludes with these words. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the angel said, "Fear not. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Why bother with giving an announcement of Christ's birth to shepherds? The shepherds were nobodies. They were most likely never to rise to greatness. Why be concerned about shepherds? And here is another detail that gives witness to the humility, generosity, and love of God. Perhaps precisely because they were nobodies, the angelic announcement was made, again being emphasized as the fact that God wants to meet the needs of those who are lowly in heart and meek in spirit. But perhaps there is another reason as well for the announcement being made to the shepherds. By occupation, shepherds spent day after day caring for lambs and sheep. They cared for their animals and watched over them with great attention. It has been suggested that if it was December when the shepherds were grazing their flocks, ordinarily an unusual period of the year for grazing such animals, then there could only be one purpose for grazing these sheep. The shepherds were grazing sacrificial lambs and sheep, preparing them for sacrifice during the high holy days. And to these shepherds, God's message comes. And there is another sacrificial lamb being grazed. Yes, it is Jesus Christ, the Lord, the spotless Lamb of God, who shall take away the sins of the world. No wonder the shepherds were called. Who would be more suited to recognize and appreciate the qualities of a sacrificial lamb than a shepherd? Oh, the amazing love, generosity, and humility of God. And so Jesus was born in Bethlehem instead of Jerusalem. He was laid in a manger instead of a crib. He was born in a stable instead of an inn. And he was announced to local shepherds rather than to scribes and rulers in Jerusalem. All of these details attest to the wonder of our God, and together suggest the authentic spirit of Christmas. As God gave, so you and I are to give. As God humbled himself, so we are to be guided by humility. As God loved, so we are to try to love as the Spirit of Christ works in us, and to shed the light of life in a dark and perishing world. Let us bow in prayer. O Lord, may the true spirit of Christmas abide with us. May love, humility, and generosity be with us. May that spirit dwell in our hearts now and forever. Through Christ we pray. Amen.